All right, this is an interview with Wastemore Sarereni, an African pastor and a rural pastor in the area in southern Zimbabwe. And we're going to ask him a few questions about life and ministry. First of all, can you introduce yourself to us?
Yeah, my name is Wastemore Sarereni, and I'm married to Mary, and God blessed us with three kids, John, 13, a boy, and Sharon, 9, a girl, and Keith, 5, a boy. We are in a village, in a rural village in Zingira. We are my pastor there at Zingira Baptist Church.
So Zingira is in Zimbabwe, southern Zimbabwe?
It's in the southern Zimbabwe,
what,
yes.
What province?
Masvingo province.
Okay.
That's where we are, and in the far south.
Great. Do you minister? What's the difference between a rural area and a city area?
A rural area is where there is no electricity, there is no any means of employment, and there is no tar road. And you know, we rely on even water from the wells. That's the difference.
Okay, so it's not very developed area.
Yeah, it's undeveloped, that's true.
Yeah. And are most of the people poor there?
All the people there are very poor.
Yeah.
They depend on other people for living, maybe on their brothers, sisters, their sons who are working in town to support themselves. Support them.
Okay. How did you become a believer, Wastemore?
It was a time when I was in Joburg, during xenophobic time in South Africa. When Pastor Brosnan, Kevin Brosnan, came with his church, which is Calvary Baptist Church, he came to preach to us, and I had to ask a lot of questions concerning the Word of God, when he has to show me that I have got a problem and I need to be correct with God. And it shows that the problem I had is that I was a sinner. I need to receive Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And I had to understand it, but it takes time for me to confess that Jesus is my Lord.
So the xenophobia was critical in your coming to Christ.
It was critical. But either side, I can say it was the right time. It was the right time with God, and it was the right time that God sent his servants to preach the word so that they to understand it.
You know, I just think of the Puritans, where the one man said, God uses sin sinlessly. And it's like he took that terrible thing of xenophobia and he used it to save you and other people as well.
Yeah, I also believe on that, because when we look to the book of Genesis, Moses says to his brothers, "You made it good, you made it bad, but God made it good." Which means good. Yeah. God can use any means.
Yeah, yeah. Tell us briefly about your church. What is your church like?
Our church is in a rural area, and we don't have a church building, but when we know that a church is not a building, it's a believers who are in the church. We have got at least around 60 people coming to the church, both child and adults. And we teach the gospel, and we love the doctrine of grace in our church. Because we know that God is doing everything, not us doing everything. We are only the tools that God can use to preach, to reach the other people. We are the vessel that we can turn the world upside down. We understand that the world is corrupt, but we as a church, we live with a goal to evangelize, to plant churches, and to see people being saved.
So does your church Does it meet outside? Does it meet inside a home?
We normally meet inside the room, in my room, but now because of the number, we are now meeting under the tree, outside.
Do you have chairs?
We have got almost 27 chairs, which is not even half of the people coming to the church, which means others will be leaving, staying on the stones, other one on the ground.
Yeah. Wow. How many of those do you think are true believers?
Maybe I can say 30 of them are true believers.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah. 30 of them are true believers. Others are still, they say they are believers now, but I'm still looking at them and see, I don't see fruits out of them. And when I'm discussing with even other guys, like my inner three, they say they are true believers, and they even accuse me of saying that I'm looking for the fruits. But to be a shepherd is to see that you have to look to your sheep and find that if they are healthy. I don't see those guys as healthy believers. They are not yet true believers, but they are on the way, maybe. And wow. We are praying for them.
Recently, you just told me that you organized a pastor's conference in Zimbabwe, in a rural area. Would you mind telling us about that?
Yes, the conference I did organize was because of the fact that in Zimbabwe, in rural areas, main pastors call them pastors, but they are not really pastors. They don't even know what is the role or the duties of a pastor. So the title of the topic was, what kind of pastor are you?
And you only had like a few days to arrange this, right?
Yeah, it was very few days to arrange it. But what I did is I used my bicycle to travel to pastors' home, pastors' churches during the week and discuss about them, and I had to show them that, look guys, we have to sharpen one another, as the book of Proverbs says, iron sharpen iron. That's where we come with that idea, and they all agreed with them. And it was after coming to African Pastors Conference in South Africa, and to find that we also have to do it in rural areas.
So you just, you came back from an organized conference in South Africa, the African Pastors Conference.
Yes.
And then just a few days later, right, like 4 or 5 days later, you arranged a conference in Zimbabwe.
Yes. It was when I saw it, when I was in South Africa, I had to pray about it and say, God, I know it's difficult for a pastor to listen to other pastors, even to a black man, a younger man like me, calling older people. And I had to pray for that while I was in South Africa. But when I was to go back home, I find that, oh, God answers prayers, because those guys is to listen to what I told them. Though some did not come, but some come, and they are looking for another conference again.
About how many pastors came?
It was around 45 pastors.
With 5 days notice.
5 days notice, yes. Because it took a lot of time for me traveling, cycling with my bike, going door to door, talking with them, praying with them, showing them what the Bible says.
And then you did most of the preaching. Is that correct?
Yes, I did most of the preaching.
At this conference?
At this conference.
How many days long?
It was 3 days conference.
And how many times do you think you preached?
Oof, it was several times. Maybe 7 times.
Did you have time to prepare for those messages, or did you just have to preach from things that you've prepared in the past?
What helps me to prepare, to go back to the book of 1 Timothy, and because I want to show them that what is the duty of the pastor. That's why I say, what kind of pastor are you? Then I had to go back to the notes from the college, and I had to go back to the Bible. So it also helps me to prepare the messages.
Wow, that's inspiring. I pray that God will bless your efforts. You also told me, Wastemore, that recently your son John, I believe your eldest son, was baptized. That's great. Some of us have children who are going to be baptized, and we're trying to think about when they should be, how old, things like that. How did that happen with your son? How did you counsel your son?
At first, before I get out from the college, when I was in second year, I had no church in the rural area. And my son was going to another church, which is Church of Christ. They call it Church of Christ in the rural area, next to my village. And my son came to me and says, "Daddy, I want to be baptized." I said, "Okay. Baptism is a good thing for a believer, but tell me why you want to be baptized." He said, "Oh, Daddy, I want to be baptized because if I did not baptize, God will not forgive my sins." So, exactly, he says, "It is for the forgiveness of sins." Then I said, "Oh, no, you cannot be baptized now," because I even saw that he was not ready. Then later on, after the college, it took something like 2 years after I left the college teaching my son. Then he came to me again and said, "Daddy, I want to be baptized." And I was sure that my son was saved. I was sure that my son was saved. And I did ask him. He told me the correct answer. Then I said, "Okay. If you want to be baptized because of this, I cannot give you an answer now. But I told Pastor Zreva to talk to you or to baptize you. Then I'll send him to another pastor, a Baptist pastor, so that when he get there," I told him, "no, be hard on the guy because you want to make sure that he understands." Then, wow. After that, yes, Zreva has to be hard to the boy, and the boy has to give the right answers why he is to be baptized. And we have to find that, oh, he's now a believer. And that's why I told even Pastor Zreva, says, "No, I cannot baptize him. You did make the interview, so you have to baptize him." So he did baptize him.
Great. I'm glad that you asked him some hard questions, or urged the other pastor to ask hard questions. And I pray that the work of grace would continue in his heart. Let me shift directions a little bit and ask. Many pastors love money. It's common to find the prosperity gospel. If they can get any connection with U.S. dollars, they'll do anything to get that connection. How can we avoid that? How can we avoid giving money to foolish men while at the same time helping people who are genuinely in need?
That's true. When even to look to the Bible says we have to help one another. That's true, but we have to help true believer, as you said. The thing is, when you meet a guy who says he's a true Christian, he's a true pastor, he's a true servant of Christ, you don't rush to help him or to work with him, but you take time looking at him. As I say, many people say, "Oh, I'm a pastor who looks after the fruits." Look at him. Something must be seen. Even the time will tell if he's a true pastor or he's not a true pastor. Don't just work with him, go with him, being around him, and then you know him. And he will reveal himself, what kind of pastor is he. Is he a true servant or a false servant?
So it takes time.
It takes time. Take time. Don't rush to help.
But that's the tough part, because when people come to your door and they look at you or they talk to you and you just feel sympathy toward them, but then you wonder if you're being tricked, and there's no immediate way to tell. You just have to take time. Is there any way, what advice would you give for a Western missionary, someone who's coming from another culture, another economic world, basically? How can he tell the difference between a Rice Christian and a false Christian, a Rice Christian and a true Christian? Is there any advice you can give, or would you just say, no, time?
Yeah, something must be seen. Yes, as I say, time will tell. But something must be seen in a believer's life. And we should have to look on the, is Galatians 5 is talking about the fruit, all these things, the fruit of faith. Faith should have to produce something in a life of a man. So we have to see what comes out of the man, so that we can see who is the true believer, who is not a true believer. Because other people are good at words, they can trick us with words, but let's try to be sure that we know the people very well. Hmm. And we understand them. We ask them what they believe.
Finally, big question. Do African churches need American money? Would they be better off if America kept its money? Or do they need that money? And if they do need that money, what does that say about the Holy Spirit? Does the Holy Spirit need that money to keep things going? What do you say about the African church, especially the rural church, the poor areas? Do they need American money?
Yeah, but we can't say in other words, if you say they have to wait for the man to start the churches, I can say no. But they are sometimes what they need the man, where they cannot able to sustain themselves, where they can live in a very poor rural areas, where there is no employment. Of course, those people can be helped with American money. But of course, in the other way, they can live without the man in the other side. And on the other side, they can not live without it. Because in the other way, you find that someone who is a true believer and a true servant of Christ will love the gospel. Sometimes we shift his direction, getting into looking for the jobs to support the family. Because when you look at this family and all these things, but it takes faith to remain in the church, which means we can say it's a balance. They can live without the man or they can live with the man.
So in one sense, yes, and in one sense, no.
In one sense, yes.
Yeah. Wow. Pastor Sarreni, it's so good to have you. Thank you for taking time to talk to us, for giving us some insight from how to reach rural areas. And we pray that God will save many people in the poorest areas of Africa. We'd love to see that happen.
Thank you very much, sir.